Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Jesus is alive and well. Hallelujah. So how many of you were not here this morning? Could I see your hand? Bunches of you. Well, I haven't got time to go back and re-preach this morning, but let me just build up to what I'm going to do because it's a continuation of what I did last night. I started a series actually in Orlando, Florida at our last Gospel Truth Seminar talking about how to find God's will. This is a continuation of that, talking about how to follow God's will. And last night I was talking about Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I spent all night trying to explain what that's about. If you just totally sell out to God, God changes the desires in your heart. And basically, you can follow the desires of your heart if you are truly seeking God with your whole heart. And so many people have these desires, but they just blow them off. They don't have any confidence in it. And yet, if you truly are committed to God, it's God that's put those desires in your heart. And we talked about that last night. This morning, I started using Moses as an example, and I talked about how that Moses knew God's will for his life. And I made a point of this morning. Let me just say it quickly, that if you get your theology from the show The Ten Commandments more than you do the Bible, some of the things I say here are going to seem crossways to what you believe, because the show The Ten Commandments didn't portray everything biblically. And one of the things that I shared from Acts chapter 7 was that Moses knew he was a Jew. He knew God's will for his life was to deliver the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery. And he knew when he went out and killed this Egyptian, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to fulfill God's will. But he missed it in two ways. And I majored mostly this morning on the fact that he was 10 years premature trying to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We got that from Genesis 15 compared to Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. And so you find out that he was 10 years premature. There is a timing to God's will in your life. And he tried to bring deliverance before God prophesied it. You can't speed up God's timetable, but you can delay it. You can mess up the things of God, but you aren't going to speed him up. You aren't going to be able to microwave your miracle. Amen. You have to be dependent upon God and on His timing. So Moses missed that, but also Moses tried to bring God's power to pass and release God's power through his life, through his natural ability and through his position. And it was miraculous. Everything about Moses was miraculous. It was a miracle that he lived. It was a miracle that not only he lived, but he was raised in the very household of the person who was trying to kill him. He was raised and became one of the most powerful men in Egypt, and he had this position of high authority and power. He was over the military. There were so many things that in the natural it would look like that this certainly was part of God's plan for bringing deliverance to the Israelites. Why else would a Jew have been raised in an Egyptian household and be second or third in command to the throne? All of it made sense. The only thing wrong with it wasn't God. Not everything that's good is God. You have to get to where you understand that God's ways of doing things are different than your ways. For instance, we just talked about finances. Did you know it makes sense that if you need money, that what you need to do is hoard? But that it makes sense, but it's wrong. The Bible says if you need, give, and it shall be given unto you. And you have to get to where you find God's way of doing things and not lean under your own understanding. Moses did what most of us would have done, and we would have looked at our position, all of the clout, all of the recognition, the authority, the power, the supernatural things, and we would have supposed that God was going to use us because of look who we are, look what God's done, and we would have tried to bring God's will to pass in our own power. So you not only need to know God's timing, but you need to have God's plan. And you're going to find out that God's plan is nearly always different than your plan. God's ways aren't our ways, and it's going to be different. So Moses messed up the whole thing. He was premature because of this. He had to flee from Pharaoh. Pharaoh tried to kill him, and it looks like in Exodus chapter 2 that he ran because he was afraid of Pharaoh, but over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says he didn't fear the wrath of the king. He endured, not fearing the wrath of the king is what it says. So the Bible comments on itself. It doesn't contradict itself. So which is it? He fled because he knew he had messed up and that he was going to be killed, but he fled out of discretion, out of just, he knew that for him to fulfill God's will, he had to live, and so he fled, but it wasn't because he was afraid of the king. It was because he knew he had messed up God's plan, and he needed to regroup. It was a strategic retreat. And according to Scripture, for 40 years in the wilderness, he was praying and asking God for another chance. And so let's turn over to Exodus chapter 3 and read about at the end of 40 years, after Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, God appears unto Moses. And so it says in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed." You know, I'm not going to make a major point of this, but this is a big point. And I'm just not going to spend a lot of time on it. But again, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was still seeking after God and trying to fulfill God's will and knew that God had a plan for his life. And he was looking for God. He was wanting God to intervene. And when he saw this bush that was on fire and yet it wasn't consumed, he turned aside and said, I'm going to go see this great sight. And it was only after he turned aside that the voice of God came to him. It was the voice of God that arrested him. It was the voice of God that changed him. But you know how God got his attention was through a bush that was on fire. He could have walked by it. He could have said, man, I've got another mile to go. I've got to get these flocks to the well before a certain time, just like all of us. We're busy. But you know what? He was looking for God, and when he saw something abnormal, he said, I'm going to turn aside and see this. And you can see this same thing happen in a lot of different ways. When the disciples were in that boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, it said Jesus came walking unto them on the water. It's recorded in Mark chapter 6, also in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus was walking on the water, and it says in Mark 6, he would have passed by them. Now, you know that the reason he came was because they were drowning. He was coming out there to save his disciples. He wasn't just out on the lake for a stroll, and it so happened that he got close to their boat. He was there to help them. You know, if it would have been us, and these were our disciples, man, we would have come running out there waving our arms, hold on, I'm coming, hold the fort, I'll be there in a minute. We would have done something like that. But Jesus, he just came walking, and he would have walked by them. Some people don't read the Bible and think about this, but why would he have walked by them? Because you know what? He presents himself. He shows you he's there, but the Lord is not going to force himself on anybody. God doesn't come into your life and make you follow him. When I first got turned on to the Lord, I felt like there was so far for me to go that it was so easy for me to miss God. I prayed a lot. God, just make me do what you want me to do. I give you the right. Make it happen. Force me to do it. You know what? He doesn't do it that way. He will present himself. He'll come to you. But if you're so occupied with this life, if you're so busy watching As the Stomach Turns on television and doing everything that we get involved in, you know what? You can miss God. He's there and people just miss him. You know, yesterday we had a golf tournament for the Bible College and we were out all day and it was beautiful weather and stuff. And, you know, some of you have lived here so long, you just take it for granted. But man, it's a beautiful spring. The azaleas, the dogwoods, the red buds are out. It is absolutely awesome. And I was just praising God and looking at all this, thinking about, man, it's awesome. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no tongue nor language where their voice hasn't been heard. Their voice has gone forth into all of the earth. God is screaming at us every day. Mankind and all science and all of their ability can't create an azalea, a dogwood. They can create something that looks like it, but it can't grow and it can't have little baby dogwoods. And it can't produce baby azaleas, and it doesn't come and go and lose its leaves. It's just a miracle. And there's people that miss it. They say, well, there's no evidence of God around. How dumb can you get and still breathe? People think that this just happened. Mankind, all of our... You could pool the resources of the entire human race and they can't create one flower. They can create something that'll mimic it and look like... You know, mankind can't create a blade of grass. They can create astroturf or something that looks like it, but it'll never reproduce and have a baby blade of grass. It can't reproduce and live. Mankind can't do the simplest thing. And people are saying, I don't have any proof that there's God. Man, it's a good thing I'm not God. I mean, that'd just make me want to drop kick you off the earth. Boom, into the universe. Like, how dumb can you get?
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU14C titled The Rod of God when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministry for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.